Hi, girls. This is Darla Shine, Happy Housewife. I have a treat for you today. Our favorite doctor is in the house, Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Dr. Fuhrman, thank you for being with us in the Happy Housewives Club.
A pleasure.
You know, you are the first person I was thinking about this week when a popular story that the girls were talking about on the Happy Housewives Club is this 8-year-old boy. I don't know if you saw this, Dr. Fuhrman, in the news. In England, an 8-year-old boy who weighs 200 pounds. The parents are being ridiculed by the press, by the media, by their physicians for allowing this to happen. The mother has been on record as saying, well, you know, he likes to eat junk, and I have to give him what he wants because, you know, otherwise he doesn't stop whining. Now, a few weeks ago on Inside Edition in the American press, there was a girl in Tennessee who was taken away from her mother, who is 10 years old, who weighed 400 pounds, Dr. Fuhrman. This girl couldn't even walk. She was rolling around on the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
They took her out of the home. They put her into a facility, and, you know, I guess they're going to try and help this girl lose weight. They don't even know if she's going to live because of her organs.
Right.
So I wanted to have you on today to talk to us because I think these parents belong in prison. Other people are saying that these parents just need to be taught how to give their children nutritious foods. Is it possible, Dr. Fuhrman, that these parents have no idea how to feed these children?
Well, why don't we put all the parents and children in prison then? We'll have nobody out here living and working, and we'll all be living in prison because all the parents are feeding their kids to kill them.
But you know, 200 pounds? 400 pounds?
You know, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, there's got to be something wrong with parents that will let their kid get like that. But we know that the way we feed our kids is the major cause of adult cancers. You know, it's funny. My daughter was coming out of HealthQuest, an exercise facility. She was 5 years old, and she says to me, don't these parents love their children? And I go, what do you mean, Cara? Of course they love their children. But she says they're just all eating junk food. And I said, yeah, but they don't know what we know. They don't know that the foods you put into your mouth build your cells and build you a body you're left with the rest of your life. And you're going to suffer with diseases your whole life. They don't know that you are what you eat. And she says, come on, Dad, how do they not know that? They're not that stupid.
Well, I have to agree with your daughter.
Yeah. It's that, you know what? It is it's convenient. It's easy to give a kid what they want. But people have to understand that children are animals, right? We're a human animal. And you put an animal in a facility or a cage, and you give it the option of hitting a button to get cocaine or hitting a button to get food. It'll take the cocaine every time. And the last thing the little bird does before it drops over dead is hit the cocaine button one more time. It won't eat. In other words, animals are wired to go after as much pleasure as they can. A child's going to pick as much sweet, as much sugar, as much caloric density to get a dopamine hit, to hit his pleasure sensations as much as they can, because throughout human history, the problem with survival was get enough calories to stay alive. So animals seek out pleasure to get sufficient calories.
Right.
So when the parents, when they bring the kid in here and they say the parent, he doesn't like vegetables, and like, you know, he just likes junk food, obviously we'll say that he's just normal then, because that's what a normal animal is supposed to do. They're supposed to seek out as much pleasure as they can. The only thing is, in a natural environment, there would be no fake food around. There'd be only natural fruits and vegetables, beans, berries, nuts and seeds, a little fish. There'd be the natural foods that we were living on, a tropical island. And choosing from natural foods, it would be impossible to develop diabetes and obesity because obviously the caloric density of the food is not high enough to have that happen. But then when you have the American diet style, American processed foods move into the Marshall Islands and move into these tropical islands, and people start eating breakfast. They have donuts and Kool-Aid, and now we have the Marshall Islands have a whole population. 80% of them have become diabetic, and by the age of 40, they're cutting off their legs with amputations. They're really, and we've sent some researchers over there to a team to try to teach them how to eat over again, because the American toxic food is available in America has now taken over the islands. It's almost like it's a deadly virus spreading through the islands, just like this deadly virus of junk food is spreading through America. So we take our kids to a soccer game, and they're bringing the donuts, and they're bringing the cakes over for your kids that want to poison their kid and your kid too.
Right. Everyone's bringing all the snacks to the soccer game. Now, in your book, Dr. Fuhrman, Disease Proof Your Child, which I love this book. This is, you know, a book I recommend. Many of the women on my website have ordered this book. I'm going to read something. It says, we are molded by our childhood. Okay, this is in your introduction, and you write, as parents, we want what is best for our children. We would never intentionally harm them. In fact, we make sure we get them the best possible care. We read to them, play with them, and ensure their safety at home, at school, and at play. But when it comes to feeding them, somehow we don't know what's best. Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Vermin. Is there any newborn who is born obese? No, right?
Well, not really, but you know, the way the mother eats before pregnancy and during pregnancy could make diabetic and overweight children that are very difficult to push out of the birth canal. In other words, you could say that they're fed in a way, or the mother eats in a way to start the problem of obesity beginning before they even come out.
But when a mother, okay, most mothers who want to do the right job, they're pregnant, they're thinking, you know, we have to feed our baby healthy, we need to give them the right formula or breastfeed, and they're looking at all these options. So when does it start to change? Is it that I'm concerned that we as parents are lazy and just, you know, it's easier to give your kids some cheese doodles and put them in front of the TV. It just is.
What about those little fishes they give people? They give
the goldfish.
It's
now,
unbelievable.
Everyone thinks that's a healthy snack. Now, is that a healthy snack?
It's poison. A healthy snack. You know. In other words,
everyone thinks that's healthy.
You know, it's funny. It's everybody is so. We have a nation where 51% of people die of heart attacks and strokes, and 36% die of cancer, and the cancer rates have gone up every year for 75 years straight, up until the last 2 years when, due to smoking less and we stopped giving women estrogen, and breast cancer went down a touch. But the point is that we discovered there are 14 vitamins and 25 minerals in food. And we discovered that about 75 years ago. And people started taking vitamin pills, and they started adding niacin and B6 and thiamine to Cocoa Puffs. And people thought that, well, now we'll have this problem licked. We'll take the vitamins and minerals, we won't get cancer. And you know what happened 75 years since? Cancer rates went up every single year. You know why? Because vitamins and minerals are a small part of the story. The phytochemicals and antioxidants that are not a vitamin and mineral, that when you get your vitamins and minerals that come from natural foods, like broccoli and string beans and artichokes and blueberries and sunflower seeds and Brazil nuts, when you get your nuts and seeds, when you get your micronutrients, which are vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals, the foods that are naturally high in vitamins and minerals are also naturally high in the phytochemicals that arm the body with the ability to prevent cancer and autoimmune condition. When you get your vitamins and minerals from a pill or from a food that's supplemented with those vitamins and minerals, you miss out on the opportunity to have a healthy life. And because of this, and we were better off before we discovered vitamins and minerals, because people thought they had to eat real food. Now you think you can take the vitamins and minerals and eat goldfish, Cocoa Puffs, cornflakes, Life cereal, and all this other junk that has the fake vitamins and minerals added to it.
Well, you know, I have a lot of women who write to me, Dr. Vermin. This is what they say. You know what? To buy fresh fruit and vegetables is so much more expensive than to buy the junk. It really is. And so they're buying. It's cheaper to buy a whole bunch of boxes, they're telling me, of macaroni and cheese than to get a whole fresh, you know, head of broccoli.
Well, then they can't make believe they care about whether their child gets cancer or not. If they got to put in the convenience before the child's health. You know what? You said earlier, you said the parent has a child, they want to do the best for their child, and you said they give them the right formula. And I'm thinking in my mind, every parent that feeds their kid formula instead of breast milk already has made a decision that the health of the child doesn't matter, and that their convenience matters first. You know,
stop right there. I have to ask you. Okay, you are a high-profile physician. You've been on all the top shows. You've been to Washington. You've spoken to politicians. How come in this country, on a bigger scale, nobody is pushing to teach these mothers? This is what I'm dumbfounded about. How come when women are reading these books, when women are looking to what they think is raise their children right, how could they then walk away and say they didn't know any of this? How could it be? How could we be upset that we have obese children, but yet in the school lunch program, it's horrific what they're feeding the kids. There's soda in the machines in the cafeterias. There's candy bars in those machines. It just seems like this big catch-22. It's so frustrating.
You know, we've got this new religion in modern America. It's called the religion of medicology, I call it. In other words, we believe that a pill will solve everything. You take a vitamin pill, you get a high blood pressure, you take a high blood pressure pill. You eat junk food, you become diabetic, you take a diabetic pill. Get sick, you go to the doctor, gives you an antibiotic. We think that drugs and pills, you get cancer, you think chemotherapy is going to save you. It's all a myth. The more money spent on medical care, the more money spent on drugs, the worse the healthy life expectancy is of any population. It became from the it's all because of money. I mean, the answer to your question is all because the people that who makes the money from these things, so the people who have the most money, are the industries that make the food, that make the drugs, that buy the politicians, that pay for the lobbyists, that pay for the law to be passed. You have to get this vaccine, you have to take this drug, you have to give your child a chemotherapy. Everything is geared, the studies done are funded in a way to make drugs look better. They're funded so to make people think that diet is not the really answer, that diet, exercise, and of course, you know, eating high nutrient foods are not the answer to good health, that drugs and doctors are. You know, I tell people, I say, you know, I have a new religion I've started, and that's called the religion of, I'm a nutritarian. I actually believe that you have to eat real food to get real nutrients to have good health.
That's what I believe.
A weird belief system that you actually have to eat the food that has the nutrients.
Well, I believe that too, and I believe this, and I've written this on my website, and I have it in my book, and I believe that if you do not cook homemade meals for your child, it's a form of neglect and child abuse.
Right.
So which leads us back to this boy who's 200 pounds and the girl who's 400 pounds. If the parents are giving them junk every day, and the parents have now, I think, destroyed their lives. You have to agree that they're going to have diabetes. Their whole life is destroyed. It's almost murder. I mean, this is neglect and abuse in the worst way. It's just as bad as physical and emotional abuse. So I think, if you're a physician, what would you do? Where were the doctors? Where was the school? How could it have gotten this far?
Yeah, if the person doesn't become 400 pounds overnight, right? They don't become 200 pounds overnight. They had to start out, with some weight that was unhealthy way before that.
Right. So you know, how does it get to that point without somebody stepping in? And do you, as a physician, believe that it should be the government's role or the law enforcement's role to step in when a child is overweight? When do we draw the line and start to go after the parents?
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard question. You know, 1 in 4 children are glucose intolerant, so they're going to be diabetic as an adult. Don't forget that, you know, that 50% now of children are significantly overweight, and this is the first generation of children that are going to have a shorter lifespan, significantly so than the parents. The point is that if all Americans are slowly killing their children, cause them to die younger, and we're going to have a higher rate of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, dementia in the next generation, and they're killing themselves along with it. So where do we put that line? At what stage? Is that 10% overweight? 100% overweight? You know, where do you put that line? I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is, and it's so upsetting to me. And people think that I'm crazy. You know, Dr. Furman, my daughter will go on a play date, and then the mother will say, "We're going to go to McDonald's. Is it okay if Hannah comes?" And I'll say, "No, sorry."
Right.
And I'm like seen as this lunatic because I don't want my daughter to go to McDonald's and eat that hamburger. You know, so you're an outcast if you try to do this. And I'm trying to help the women on my website. And a lot of the girls have changed their lifestyles. They're listening to your podcast. They're reading this book, Disease Proof Your Child. They realize that what they put into their child now is going to affect their whole life.
Right. That's the thing. They have to realize that when you're an adult, if you get lupus, if you lose if you're on a national renal transplant list waiting for a new kidney, and you're going to dialysis every day, if you have painful rheumatoid arthritis and you can't move and you're in a wheelchair and you have to have knee replacement surgery, or if you get psoriasis or you get depression and you get, in other words, what I'm saying is we relate these diseases back to the way that children were fed in their first 10 years of their life. You earn it from the way these kids are fed early in life, and then you earn these later life diseases, and nobody makes a connection, except the scientific literature makes the connection. But people, that's not what people are going to hear about, because it's not going to push more drugs. So they just hear a study, you know what I mean? Nobody's reporting about the fact that we know that, let's say, aggressive forms of prostate cancer are related to eating more, you know, and pancreatic cancer, which kills you in 2 years of the diagnosis, is related to luncheon meats like bacon and hot dogs and pastrami and bologna and barbecue. Nobody's talking about that. That's not the front page of the paper. Why isn't the front page of the New York Times say, you know, the leading cause of death in children is acute blastocytic leukemia and brain tumors are related to the lack of fruits and vegetables eaten during pregnancy? But instead, we give them a pill. We give them a folate pill so people don't have to eat vegetables during the pregnancy.
But it's true. This is what women are being sold. They feel if they're taking that prenatal vitamin, they are covered.
Right. They think the vitamins cover them. That's the big thing I'm arguing about here.
Right.
The idea that the pill solves everything, you know?
Right. Well, I think that those parents, I think that the mother of the 400-pound girl should go to jail, and I think that the other mother of the 200-pound boy should have to do some kind of community service, some kind of punishment. It's just, I'm outraged. I am disgusted. Now, Dr. Furman, another thing I want to talk to you about, which is very important to the women on my website, is I am getting emails, dozens of emails every day from my moms around the country telling me that the counselors in their child school, the counselors now, are trying to convince these mothers that their children have ADD because they cannot sit still.
Right.
So what I've been saying to these mothers is, before you take your child to a psychiatrist, before you listen to this baloney, I don't even believe in ADD. I think it's baloney. I think that they should start by changing the breakfast and the diet throughout the rest of the day. So I would like you to tell us some of the things that women need to know to cut out, like red dye and sugars, and some things that definitely set off bad behavior in children. I think that certain foods affect their brains. Preservatives, I believe, is what's causing these kids to act badly. So what do you think?
Well, I think it's, you know, I discussed that in Disease Proof Your Child, but I think it's a little more profound and deep than that. But let me just talk briefly about it, is that the brain is made up mostly of fat, and fat goes rotten. And the word for when your brain cells become rotten in your body, it's called lipid peroxidation. And scientists could measure lipid peroxidation. It means that without sufficient antioxidants and phytochemicals to keep our tissues from not going rancid, they become rancid. And when they become rancid, they don't behave normally. If you eat, you know, where our kid earns the ADD, they earn, and it also it lowers their intelligence too, by the way, when we don't have the right balance of fatty acids in the brain. In other words, the right, we have to have sufficient DHA fat in the brain. And if there's not enough DHA fat coming in from breast milk, and of course, mothers who take DHA fat while they're pregnant have smarter kids too, by the way.
Well, give us an example of natural DHA fat. What should these women be feeding their children? Because I believe salmon, right?
Well,
what?
Walnuts and ground flax seeds are high in alpha-linolenic acid, or how in the precursor to DHA, right? And then, of course, like you're saying, fish. It does supply us with EPA and DHA, of course, but you can't eat too much of the fatty fish because of pollution. But I actually do recommend people take a supplement with DHA and give it to their kids. And I actually have something called DHA Purity on my website because we make it. You know how you take a fish oil or take a DHA supplement and it tastes like gasoline and you burp and smell and it's, you know.
Right.
Well, I make one that's, we keep it refrigerated from the date of manufacturing so there's no rancidity, so there's no possibility of it not being fresh and easily digestible and healthy. Because how healthy can rotten fat be? But anyway, there's lots of ways to get DHA. But DHA is just one of the many things. And you're saying, don't avoid food dyes and red dye number two and preservatives. Yeah, but if you're eating foods that have those things even remotely in them, then you're not eating a processed food diet. In other words, not only should you don't only have to. It's not enough just not to eat those foods. You can't live on bagels, let's say, and chicken, because a bagel is the same as a piece of chicken, right? Because both the bagel and the chicken, even though they're not high in fat, even though they don't have any kind of, even though they don't have the anti, you know, any preservatives or red dye number two in them, they still don't contain vitamin E, C, K, folate, the bioflavonoids, the lignans, the phytochemicals, the isothiocyanates. In other words, they don't contain the phytochemicals and antioxidants that are contained in real foods that have color in them, like blueberries and strawberries and plums and cherries and papaya and broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and kale and peas and corn and sweet potato. They don't contain the foods of color. So in other words, you can't take in calories without nature's cornucopia or full symphony of natural nutrients and expect your brain to be normal.
Okay, so if you were going to speak to one of these mothers, and they're saying the children are jumping off the walls, what would you suggest that they give their kids for breakfast? I think one of the worst things the moms are doing without realizing it is giving their kids a bowl of cereal, you know, Cocoa Puffs,
right,
sending the kids out
to
school.
The fake vitamins added to it.
Right, and then the kids go to school, and they're jumping off the walls because they can't sit still, and they're being told they have ADD when, in fact, they're just full of sugar and preservatives and crap.
Absolutely. You know, we have my son, Sean, who's five, I have four kids, of course, has a bowl of blueberries. This morning he had a banana shake with flax seeds and walnuts in it, he also had some oatmeal sometimes with flax seeds. But in any case, you know, you could make a kid eat green vegetables. Like, we even make a shake where we put some spinach and kale in the banana, pineapple, the banana, strawberry shake. We even make a pomegranate, cherry, blueberry shake. We put a little cocoa powder in with a lot of spinach in it. In other words, you have to get your kid. The trick is, the parents listening will have to say, well, okay, so my kids are supposed to eat vegetables, but my kid won't eat broccoli. He won't eat kale. He won't eat peas. Well, of course he won't eat it. He's not going to choose those foods over the foods that you're giving him. But if all he had to eat in the house was the healthy food, and you made them in a manner to make them taste great. I mean, I can make a cake with beets and carrots and zucchini in it, and I could make a macadamia nut dressing on the top. I could make it taste like a chocolate. I could put any kind of vanilla chocolate right. dressing in there, and I can make it. But I can make a delicious soup or a stew. We make kale. We mash it up with cashew butter, with raw cashews whipped up with soy milk and some veggie-based powder. We make a delicious cream sauce for the chopped kale, and my kids will fight over who had more of it. But the point is, the first thing you have to do is get all the junk out of the house.
Yeah, so get the junk out of the house. And I believe, Dr. Furman, there's no excuse for this type of diet. And every child loves apples and bananas and strawberries and berries, like you're saying.
That's right.
And you can dice up vegetables and put some fresh olive oil on it and some fresh garlic. And a child is going to love it. It tastes delicious.
I can guarantee you the children will eat it, but I can also guarantee you that more than half of the parents listening to this won't do it. They won't do it because they're food addicts, and because they won't make the change in their own diet, they can't change their child's diet.
Right.
Because
if
you're an addict and you're over getting donuts and cookies and ice cream and you're a food addict and you can't stop eating that stuff, then you can't force your child to eat a healthy diet while you're eating an unhealthy diet. It just won't work. And until they get rid of their own food addictions and change their diet, they can't force their children to change.
Well, parents, everyone who's listening right now, all the women out there, I want you to change your eating habits. Make an example for your children, and please change the eating habits for your child now, because you are going to make your child a sickly adult. It's your fault. You're responsible. You are teaching your child how to eat, and you're putting the food into their body. Don't buy the junk. Start buying fresh fruits and vegetables, and everyone, I want you to order Disease Proof Your Child at Dr. Furman's website, which is drfurman.com. In fact, Dr. Furman, you were kind enough to sign 3 copies of Disease Proof Your Child. I have them right here, and I also have 3 copies of Eat to Live, and I have a few of these jars that I hate to give up, Dr. Furman, because they're so delicious. The date nut poppins.
Poppums.
They are so yummy. Tell us what's in that.
Oh, they're a great snack for athletes or for kids to take in their lunches. There's no sweetener in there. It's just mix up flax seeds and walnuts and cashews and almonds, you know, a bunch of all the healthiest nuts, with some dates. And one of the flavors has cinnamon and carob in it, and one of the flavors has a little natural cacao, which is like a natural chocolate, unprocessed chocolate, with no sweetener other than the dates and the nuts.
Well, they're very good.
So it's really delicious, and kids love them.
The other thing is that
if your child has a problem with attention or concentration, what helps a lot is getting natural light in the morning. You know, let him sit in front of the window where the sun comes in, and let him do, you know, eat his breakfast with the sun shining on, you know, on, because bright light is normal too, and being in darkness all day, it affects our brain function as well.
Okay, that's good advice. And for all of my moms who write to me, and I want to see a paragraph on what you are going to do, how committed you are to changing your lifestyle and the future of your children. And then I'm going to pick the winners of this contest, and you'll all get one of these books that Dr. Furman was kind enough to sign. Dr. Furman, I could talk to you every day, all day long. I love what you have to say. I wish only that we could reach every parent in America and get them to change what they put into their food cart at the grocery store.
I know. Don't you think it's the right of every parent in America to know that what you eat as a child is the major cause of adult cancers? And we want to give we love our kids so much. We want to give them the best start in life, you know. I joke around and I say to parents, you know, raise your hand if you want your child to get cancer. And nobody raises their hand, of course. I say, well, what? You're kidding me. How come every child menu in the town, like all the things in the children menu, the potato chips, the grilled cheese sandwiches, the hot dogs, all the kids' stuff is all the most highly cancer-causing foods you could possibly think of getting? Why is that the kids' food?
Yeah, it's really confusing. It's really sad. And people have got to wake up in this country. And the most disgusting thing, and I know people think that I'm so nasty to say this, but the most disgusting thing is that we are just getting fatter and fatter. And every year I keep reading these obese reports, and I am in shock. And now they're going to make the seats on the airplanes and in the movie theaters wider because people can't fit their big fat bodies into these seats.
Well, you know, at the same, you know, we're bottoming it. We're bottoming out, and we're seeing the tide almost start to. I have a feeling that the tide's going to turn because of the economy is being weighted down by the healthcare this healthcare crisis. But at the same time as this is going on, we have this wonderful blessing to know that we have science that supports us, so we don't have to have heart disease, we don't have to get diabetes, we don't have to get cancer. We can have our children and ourselves live longer with a more pleasurable and healthy later life than ever before possible in human history. We have so much great information to put into action that we can choose our health destiny and have happen to us. And we don't have to have happen to us what happens to other Americans. So while all this is going on, we have so much great opportunity available to us and such the opportunity to have a happy and healthy life. So in that case, you know, I'm thinking the tides are going to turn and more people are going to embrace this way of living.
Well, I hope so. Dr. Furman, thank you so much for being with us. Everyone visit drfurman.com, and we will talk to you soon.
Oh, great to talk to you, Darla.
Bye-bye.
Take care.